From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. From time to time on our show, we talk Bitcoin, the weird, mysterious form of digital currency that a lot of people think is part of the future of financial services. But the current big players in financial services are talking a lot more these days about part of Bitcoin's underlying technology called the blockchain. The blockchain is a kind of public ledger or record where digital transactions can be logged. Think of it like an organized list that can be used to verify and track transactions. Well, a few weeks back, I went to a conference called The Business of Blockchain, put on by the publication MIT Technology Review. I talked to Amber Balday, who was there on behalf of JP Morgan Chase and Company.
Everybody knows JP Morgan. Nobody knows the blockchain. Why are these two things involved?
Well, JP Morgan is a financial services company, and the blockchain is going to be used, or a blockchain, or many blockchains, are going to be used to transfer value and to transfer more complex assets and to transfer information about those assets as well. And it behooves us, if this is going to be so transformative, to not just be a taker of the technology developed elsewhere, but to bake in our own business requirements and the parts that we think are truly important. It makes sense for us to help shape those as they develop.
If blockchain reduces the price of transactions generally, how does that help JP Morgan? Is there a conflict of interest there in some of the companies that JP works with?
Sure. I think having a lower cost base for our businesses is always beneficial. We're always looking for how we can drive down the bottom line. And there is just an immense operational machine that we call the middle office that helps all of these sorts of whether you're talking about cash assets or other equities or other securities, to help them get where they need to be.
What's a blockchain-related product that is not from your company that you're excited about? Something that you see that you like geek out about?
Sure. I think that there's a lot happening in the sovereign identity space. So where humans have the kind of radical notion of owning their own identity. So we see a lot of the opposite happening, where there's a lot of centralization of people's identities at corporate institutions, whether that's your Facebooks or your Googles. So there's a lot of interesting work being done to figure out how we can have different sort of institutions attest to pieces of your identity, and then individuals can choose how to disclose those pieces when the time is right.
Amber, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you ask an online security person what their biggest bugaboo is, a lot of them will tell you it is human behavior. No matter which hack or security breach you look at, from Sony to Yahoo, take your pick, it usually starts with a simple, stupid act, a person clicking on something they shouldn't. This usually happens in email, and it's what's called a phishing or spear phishing attack. Journalist Sarah Zhang got herself spear phished and wrote about it for GQ magazine. Sarah, thanks for talking.
Thanks for having me on.
So tell me how you set up your own get hacked experiment.
Basically, I reached out to a friend and asked him, will you spearfish me for journalism? And he agreed, which is very nice of him. So I just showed up in his office, and there were like several steps that were happening. Basically, he was like setting up a fake website. He was setting up all of these fake identities that couldn't be traced back to his real identity. And he was at the same time scouring through everything that was publicly available about me to try and figure out who I was and what I cared about and what I was most likely to click on.
So how did you end up actually getting spearfished?
He decided that a really easy thing that he could do is pretend to be one of my friends that he knew that I had a relationship with through Twitter and sort of pick a common interest, because he knew that we had written together in the past, and then send me a Google Docs invitation. And if you clicked on it, then it would take me to a page that, you know, it had my little user ID icon and everything, and it would just be like, oh, input your password again. And if I input my password, I would have gotten spearfished. Although in his case, he was like, I didn't save anything. I'm just going to put up a big flashy pop-up that says, you've been owned.
Something that's part of this process is social engineering. Can you describe what social engineering is?
So social engineering is the art of getting someone to trust you. You pretend to be someone. You look over someone's shoulder. You call them up, get them to surrender random bits of information under the guise of being like, oh, I'm from the cable company and I'm calling. I'm from the IT help desk and I need your password because we have a problem. Other parts of hacking that get a lot more coverage have to do with manipulating code, but a lot of that can't really be deployed without some aspect of social engineering. Like the most harmful element is the element where you manipulate people's trust.
Sarah Zhang, she wrote a piece about spear phishing and getting herself hacked for GQ magazine. Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
By the way, we now know two big previously unnamed tech companies that were allegedly targeted in a $100 million phishing scam announced back in March. The fisher, so to speak, was a Lithuanian man posing as a Taiwanese tech company. Anyway, the two targeted companies, Google and Facebook. Hey, but what's $100 million? Alphabet crushed earnings expectations last week. Facebook announces earnings on Wednesday. Investor expectations for those earnings? High. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.